I gave her a bio, but she embellished it, believe me. me and Kathy are going to start reading a Rumi poem. It was translated by Coleman Barks. And it's called Spring.
Again, the violet bows to the lily. Again, the rose is tearing off her gown.
The green ones have come from the other world, tipsy like the breeze, up to some new foolishness.
Again, near the top of the mountain, the anemone's sweet features appear.
The hyacinth speaks formally to the jasmine. Peace be with you, and peace to you, lad. Come walk with me in this meadow.
Again, there are Sufis everywhere. The bud is shy, but the wind removes her veil suddenly. My friend.
The friend is here, like water in the stream, like a lotus on the water.
The narcissus winks at the wisteria whenever you say.
And the clove to the willow, you are the one I hope for. The willow replies, consider these chambers of mine yours. Welcome.
The apple, orange, why thy frown? So that those who mean harm will not see my beauty.
The ringdove comes asking, where? Where is the friend?
With one note, the nightingale indicates the rose.
Again, the season of spring has come, and a spring source rises under everything, a moon sliding from the shadows.
Many things must be left unsaid, because it's late, but whatever conversation we haven't had tonight, we'll have tomorrow.
Thanks, Kathy. That was nice. That's Rumi. Most people, everybody know Rumi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was here. Hello. Wow, thanks so much for being here tonight. Some familiar, mostly familiar faces. Thanks, Gladys and Diana and Lisa, for helping organize the reading. It's a little bit of a homecoming because I started hosting the first poetry series that I host starting in 2003 in July with Jeanette Klimczewski. We were over there before they redesigned the library.
Yep.
And then Anne-Marie Tognella, who worked here, moved to Sachem Library, where continued. Jeanette passed away a couple of years ago or so. And so it's nice. It's nice to be here as well, be here again. Let's see, I want to start first also by, I have a book called Native New Yorkers, which is about Native people in on Long Island and New York. So whenever I go to a reading, I look up, and I first want to acknowledge the Nissaquag, who are the original inhabitants of this area. The river is named after them. So technically, we're on occupied land. And I went to see at Stony Brook, there was a road show of resistance with some Native, some of the water protectors from Standing Rock were there. And they talked about the thousands and thousands of years that Natives have been in this area, thousands of years ago, and this, you know, you could apply this to anywhere really, and all the prayers that they laid down. And it really touched me because sometimes, you know, just you look at the malls and whatever, sometimes Long Island feels a little lonely, you know, driving around, whatever, but it was just reminding me, oh yeah, when I get up in the morning and look out at the trees and the rocks and just to think of all the people that what they prayed for into the earth, and to that's still alive with us. So I wanted to share that. So that gets into the first poem, which this is a poem I thought of Gladys because it's kind of like the style she writes. And it's called Two. T-O-O. Two. The rocks are older than rain. And the trees, some people barely notice, have a lineage. And they too celebrate the holidays when migrating birds visit. So much to learn from these elders. This pen, but a scratch in time. A white-breasted nuthatch descending the oak's bark, head first with a big hunger in his little feather-covered belly. Suddenly, evening quiet appears. not by active force, but by the inaction of noisy people. Invisible grandfather nods with approval at the books on the shelves, yet he too is a story unfolding in his grandchildren's movements. Mid-April lull, yet vigilance like mist is in the air. The urgency of greening grass reminding there are precious moments meant for you to experience. Embrace them, the way blossoms unravel into thin air, the way a dog's tongue quivers, lapping water. Thank you. And just this morning, I heard one of my best friends return the Oriole. They come back. Last year, I write it on the calendar. Last year, it was May 14th.
Oh, wow.
So
they
have a beautiful flute-like song.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
So this is one I wrote a while ago, actually. It's called Oriole. He carries orange like no one else seen. Melodious song once hidden among all that first green until May erases winter from the bones. And with all that blue sky, his orange is not a flame against black night, nor a leaf against October's chill. His orange is a turn-on, a sudden rush on the brightest day yet. Yet he carries orange all the way through blackest night. And I don't know how many people have heard of Mose Allison.
Sure.
Singer. He's a well-known jazz musician. He wrote lyrics that were very humorous. I remember him from high school. Some of the famous. There was one like your mind's on vacation, but your mouth is working overtime. That's one of his most famous songs. Yeah, it was like if talk was criminal, you'd lead a life of crime. Your mind's on vacation, but your mouth is working overtime.
Wow.
And he lived in Smithtown, and so he passed away last year, I think. So this poem started happening, and it's a little bit in his style. So I dedicated it to Mose Allison. It's called "If the Shoe Fits." If the shoe doesn't fit, wear it a while anyway. Don't go ballistic, be holistic. Don't go bonkers, buying into divide and conquers. Say bye-bye DNC, this is the age of we, not me. Let us put our minds together and see what life we will make for our children, said Hunk Papa Lakota Chief Sitting Bull. He knew what makes people feel full. But the program from colonial divide and conquer is for everyone to be slicker and bicker, bragging about their one-of-a-kind moniker and arguing over which is more important, Christmas or Hanukkah. It makes less sense, but it makes more sense to support riverbanks, not banks. Taoists go with the flow, but big corporate bankers with the cash flow, where easy dollar access, aka liquidity, is regarded as the pinnacle of upward mobility. But the waters and the spirits can move you in mysterious ways, so you can't just rely on the almighty dollar, unless your life's goal is to be hot under the collar. Until you walk a mile in another being's shoes, you really don't have no freaking clues. The numb ones whose actions are violent and pathetic need enrollment in a school to be empathetic. Without empathy, there's no true scrutiny, just brutal mutiny. But no one is immune from global community. And that reminded me too of when the Native woman was here. She was talking about being a water protector, and now that she said that phase one was over because they closed the camps at Standing Rock, and phase two is now because all those people now are deployed out around in the country and around the world. And she said, the answer is you, and she pointed to the audience. She says, be a water protector. So we think of this area and the water. So that's something that stayed with me, if there's anything we need to do, we become, in your own way, we are water protectors.
Absolutely.
All of us. So this one's more intense. This is, you know, people have the selfie sticks and people take photos. So not my thing. So this touches on a lot of current political stuff. It's called Selfless Selfies. Here's one of a Syrian child who's never seen a photo of a mountain meadow. Here's one of an Afghani goat herder bombed to the spirit world while addictions for poppies, for heroin go unchecked. This one's not developing properly, but it's of a child in Iraq born with deformities because of toxic weapons, because of an addiction to oil. This one's as sharp as can be of a child in Yemen bombed to the spirit world by a war of terror. And this one is just the negative, so the blacks look white and the whites black, so as to see through the other's eyes of a child in Flint, Michigan, learning about nutrition because of lead pipes, because of the colorblind mind that doesn't love colors. This is of the worker in Venezuela because the powers that do want to overthrow yet another foreign country, want their chaosocracy throughout this benign world. And this one of a native grandmother arrested for praying. Back in the day, a photograph was a gift like magic, an image pulled from the air, often a treasure of family and friends gathering at significant or playful moments. The thing some say they would rescue first of all thing possessions because of the connection to loved ones gone. Now, we must consider that before a photo can ever be taken, there must be a person to be photographed.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, this is an epic poem that I wrote back in 2003. It kind of amazes me. Part of it is I researched all 50 U.S. states, and when I found that over half of the names came from native peoples, so I wanted to pay a kind of tribute to that, and I looked up information, and so it's kind of quirky, but it's full of stuff. And this is about Ohio, because I wanted to honor the today is the anniversary, quote anniversary, of the Kent State shootings. So I wanted to honor that, and so this touches into other stuff. And it was all, I wanted to make it all written in quatrains. Mm-hmm. And so it's some more noticeably rhymey, some not as much. So this is Ohio, the 17th state, 1803. Along another fine, large, or beautiful river, the Lenape, Shawnee, and Wyandotte, from the Iroquois, Ohio, or Ohio, an industrialized hub and the hot dog were born, but four Kent State students slain a day before Cinco de Mayo. In America's heartland of autos and steel, chemicals, building materials, and machine tools, rubber products, fan belts, the eastern end of corn and meat belts, the demonstrators, bums to Nixon, were no fools. They were protesting the bombing of Cambodia, escalation of the Vietnam War, when the National Guard came in and fired, May 4th, 1970. Please, someone tell me what all this fighting is for. Ohio, Cinco de Mayo, sounds like just a rhyme, but discover, perhaps uncover a particular quirk of time. The Battle de Puebla was the victory of a minuscule Mexican army over the French, and though the army eventually lost, for Mexicans, Chicanos, Latin Americans, a symbolic monkey wrench. But Napoleon III sent a ton of more troops, so the wrench only chipped the gears. But even one small victory is a model for courage overcoming fears. So Cinco de Mayo celebrates Mexican unity and honors the Mestizo and Zapotec Indians who had to fight for immunity. A cultural celebration of Mexicans put to the test is certainly a far cry from the ports and plains of the Midwest, but it is a calendar's notation of four students killed at Kent State, protesting a path of destruction and attempts to exterminate. And 1,000 miles off the African coast in the South Atlantic, on May 5, 1821, Napoleon Bonaparte, of a stomach ulcer, sailed into the sun. Viva la Mexicanos, viva la French. Live long and prosper, free of the despotic Brit. Let Kent State be a warning for the American people. Revolution happens, and so it is writ. And although he was not a crook, Nixon and LBJ helped end the official U.S. policy of termination from Hoover 1949, which sought and did to terminate tribes and force people to assimilate to a foreign U.S. nation. Formerly of the valleys, Shawanuki, people of the South, Shawnee, with Tecumseh, their leader, for 40 years, bless you, warding off U.S. attackers and uniting brothers and sisters with a pan-Indian philosophy, including the Lenape. Bless you. Bless you. We got a few minutes. Let's see. Yeah, it took a lot of research. With the internet, that was when I really thanked the internet, because I realized I wrote the book in like 2 or 3 years, and I realized without the internet, I would have had to gone to the library, and that book probably would have taken me, I don't know, 10 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. So, one of the books Gladys mentioned is called Musings with the Golden Sparrow. It's kind of a stream of consciousness. I call it poetic nonfiction, because it's a mix of stuff, so I'll read a couple of sections from there. Golden sparrows blending in with the scene, too numerous to mention, nor wanting mention, yet to be cared for, fed and given waters, said hello to, sung to, letting them know you are aware of and respect their presence. See them as equally significant. Recognize their level of participation with the cosmic glue. How the light beings, brother winds, sister waters, mother earth guide their days and nights. How they commune, reminding us of what is most important, most natural. And then, let's see, people know Jorge Luis Borges, well-known Argentinian writer. His short stories are quite amazing to me. It's hard to describe, but a while ago I was reading Borges, and I had like this, it was like an enlightening moment of, he just does all these tricky things in his writings, and it was just somehow, it's hard to explain, but somehow he just made me see the letters on the page and the words in a different way. One quick example, he's got one story where he's talking about a guy who is rewriting Cervantes, and in the story he goes, this is the original Cervantes, and he's got like four lines, and then the next paragraph he goes, and here's his rewritten Cervantes, and then another four lines, and it's the exact same lines. And I read it over and over, checking it to see if it was actually the same. And it was exactly the same. So I sat there and thought about that, and it I don't know what he intended, but it made me think like, well, okay, well, Cervantes wrote that in, I don't know what, 1600 or whatever, and then this guy wrote it again, so technically it's different. I don't know if that's what he meant. And, you know, I thought about books where, you know, you have the same book, but you're a different reader reading the book. So the book's kind of different. So that's what Borges kind of does to my head. He makes me think about stuff. Yeah. So this is just a little bit here. Wheels within wheels within a labyrinth of Jorge Luis Borges's books. A man of letters who enlightened this traveler as to how the page is a yin-yang. How the words are made of letters. How each letter is a world. Like the brushstrokes of a Hebrew letter. How the spaces between the words, and even within letters, the travel to distant places seeking adventure, travel to inner landscapes, the page itself a teacher, a friend, a black and white blueprint, a map, an architecture of ponderings at Basho's frog pond, what is the sound of one frog with water blending? Are we allowed to sell books here?
Absolutely.
Okay, I do have books if anybody's interested.
Yeah, after. I was going to say that.
Okay. And I'll end up, like I do most readings, with this haiku sequence. This is a singing bowl, which is a bunch of alloy of metals. I'm not sure what, but I think it's nickel and copper probably. And it makes a lovely sound. And then it goes like this too.
Oh wow, that's beautiful.
Good energy in this room because it's really loud.
Amazing.
Wow. It goes on and on too. So I'll read a bunch of haiku.
What's the history of the Thabdab bulb?
I forgot. I looked it up, but I forgot. I mean, they're used in Buddhist temples.
I know that.
You know, they probably do like healing and sound, and
yeah,
and
sounds like
it's now they're in like New Age music. Like you can, I have a couple of CDs. Sometimes blended, sometimes mm-hmm. don't.
It's in the vibration. I believe that they say is connects with your.
Yeah, and now there's like people who are sound healers. And they have like crystal bowls that are huge and all different, and they do actual healing. Because I mean, I read a little bit of it, where sometimes a disease, like some part of the body is not vibrating, or it's vibrating in a way, mm-hmm. and the sound healer, the theory, you know, the way it works, is the vibration, mm-hmm. like realigns it, so it can provide some kind of healing. So that's so there's a lot of stuff to it, yeah. And I would don't drive while listening to Tibetan bowl.
Wow.
But yeah, they're neat. They're good meditating. If you want something to meditate to, they're good CDs. So anyway, somebody gave me this. It's one of the best gifts. So I'll read a bunch, mostly up into May here. Raindrops dripping from the edge of the patio stairs handrail. Car wash, neon sign flashing in the rain. Spring evening, bare treetops, slow dancing with the gentle wind. Rain on the windshield, the wipers keeping time to cool jazz. Rain doesn't stop the cardinal from April singing. April morning, why turn on the radio? Mockingbird song. Winding highway, playing hide and seek, the yellow April moon. Must be good friends, three sparrows gathering on a lilac branch. On my knees, olfactory prayer, communion praise with white hyacinth. May's sunshine, now all those winter months, just memory. Build a home that no one can take away, the pure heart. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward now to hear Kathy, whose voice and poetry is soothing like a Tibetan bowl. One or two?
Two, okay.
Russ requested, a while ago I started this series called One Man's Mythology. These kind of modern mythological poems. So I haven't read them in a while, so thanks for asking. This is One Man's Mythology number 5. One man has a roof over his head, but no doors. So he has to stay home most of the time. With only windows, one man's eyes grow tired from looking at the sky, the traffic, the sky, the trees. One man has several doors, so he comes and goes as he pleases, but there's nowhere to hang his hat. On clear nights with only a floor, one man cross-legged looks up and exclaims, "What a view!" One man in the neighborhood walks around all day with the finest blueprints under his arm. One man lives in a tree he calls home. And when the fruits ripen and go tumbling toward the ground, one man after another reaches out his arms for a taste of home improvements. And this one, a longtime friend and a singer-songwriter, he emailed me this phrase, "Keep spinning the words on the loom of this life." I was like, wow. That's a poem. So this is Keeper, my friend Joseph Langham, Keeper. Keep spinning the words on the loom of this life. Keep spicing the food in the pot of this night. Keep sipping the wine in the jug of this boat. Keep lighting the candles in the temple of this day. Keep spinning the wheel in the prayer of this sunrise. Keep grinding the corn on the mesa of this mind. Keep kneading the dough in the bakery of this world. Keep walking the talk on the path of this winding river. Keep telling the tales of the ancestors of this rock. Keep riding the waves of the ocean of this waking dream. Keep rolling the ball of the dung beetle in this desert. Keep pouring out the love from the vessel of this body.